All right, what's going on? Welcome to Insight with Irv. These are mindset shifts that help me make more money. I have six on here that I want to share with you, so let's jump right into it. The first mindset shift that I had that helped me make more money, by the way, this is going to work for you, whether you're looking to make your first six figure or seven figures. Reason why I am stopping at seven figures and I can't say eight figures is because I haven't made eight figures yet in my business. So when I get there, I'll tell you, like, I have a concept of maybe what it takes to get there, but I'm not there yet. So I can't tell you what it's like at six figures, and then I can tell you what it's like at seven figures. So with that in mind, number one, it doesn't matter how hard you work if you're working on the wrong stuff. This one was a big eye-opener for me when I had that aha moment where I was thinking, oh, man, you know, I'm working 12 hours a day. At the time, it was real estate. I'm working 12 hours a day, and I'm just not getting any leads. I'm not getting any clients. I'm not having anyone inviting me over. And so I remember when I was talking to my coach at the time, and he was telling me, because I would cold call first of all owners, and I would cold call expired listings. That's how we would get our deals, home sellers. And so he would say, okay, well, you know, what does your day typically look like? And I was saying, well, you know, I'm working on my listing presentation and I'm working on objections. And he mentioned, okay, well, why are you working on listing presentations? And I was like, well, if I get there, I don't want to stumble on my words and I want them to trust me on, hey, I can sell your home. And then he says, okay, why are you working on objection handling? And I was saying, well, I kept hearing, I need to think about it. And I kept hearing, no, I'm good. I don't, you know, want to sell my house with you. And I kept hearing, you know, let me just interview some other real estate agents and I don't want to invite you over for whatever reason. And he says something that to me was just profound. And I carried it to this day. And he says, I just think that you're working on the wrong stuff. He says, I think what you need to be working on in this phase of your career that you're in is you haven't earned the right for people to invite you over. So the way that it would typically work is you make a cold call, you set an appointment, you qualify the appointment, then you go over for the listing presentation. If everything turns out, you grab the listing, you sell the piece of property, and then it's off again, rinse and repeat that cycle. So he says, let's review one of your calls. So we did a quick call review. He goes, I found your problem. He quickly diagnosed it. Here's what it was. He says, well, number one is you're talking too fast. And number two is that you're not getting your question answered. So the first two most important things that you can work on right now when you're on sales calls is slow down your cadence. So you're going to command the call. And number two, get your question answered so you can carry a leadership frame on that call. Once I did those two things alone, I kept working on that over and over and over and over again. I started getting more yeses. And lo and behold, I also had less objections that I had to work on the back end because the entire call was one being led by me to the exact outcome that I wanted it to get to. And then number two, it was just clear and concise the entire time. So I didn't have to constantly feel like, man, I'm arm wrestling these people just to be able to get an appointment. So working on the wrong things, it doesn't matter how hard you're working. If you're working on the wrong stuff, SOL. Number two is don't buy luxury stuff when you start making more money. Instead, invest in talent and skills, i.e. coaching, team, and network. So let's break this down. I think that especially when you're early on in your entrepreneurial career, and this isn't even by age, this is just in general. So you can be someone in your 20s starting a career, or in your business, you start making some good money, or you can be in your 40s. We want to reward ourselves. It's just what it is, right? Human nature is we want that instant gratification. And so as soon as we land a big client, as soon as we land a big sale, we feel like we earned or we deserve to drive something better. We deserve to, you know, buy a new watch. It's a status symbol. And don't misconstrue this. I'm not saying that those things are bad in nature. What I'm saying is when you start to, again, make more money, or when you start to inch your way into maybe that next income bracket, or you have that aha moment where you were stuck at 20K a month, now you're at 50K a month, right? You give yourself about 120% lift right there. You want to pay very close attention to how you're going to be spending the next or that extra or that excess cash that you now have access to. This is important. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because, again, I see this with entrepreneurs. And again, regardless of age, where they want to reward themselves. And instead of rewarding themselves with a thing that got them there and doubling down, they reward themselves with something that's exterior. And so I end up learning on that, okay, and I wouldn't consider myself a big materialistic guy. Yes, there's some things that I like, but in terms of I don't need to have the newest car, I don't need to have the newest watch. So maybe it's a little bit easier for me to say, I do spend my money on other stuff. But when it comes to this, I like to splurge on education. I like to splurge on coaching. So maybe that's my thing. But I built it that way because I noticed that is the main, what I say, lever or the main point or kind of like the catalyst, if I should say, that helped catapult me into next realm. And so I start thinking, okay, why not continue to invest into that? So what? Why don't we buy our time back? Why don't I find someone who can edit videos faster and better than I can, right? Why can't I find someone who can maybe take sales calls just as good, if not better than I can? Why can't I invest in a coach who's done 10 times the amount of money that I've done in a much faster time period? Like, what's it worth to you? How much is it to just sit with you for a good hour? Let me invest that. And so I started noticing, okay, my income is picking up a lot faster because of that, which brings me to my third aha moment, mindset shift that helped me make more money. And that's this: just because an opportunity is good doesn't mean it is good for you. The shiny object, that shiny object that we all get distracted by, always gets more and more enticing as you start to level up. In the beginning, the shiny object could be an extra $10,000. But as you start to get into rooms where people, for them, it's maybe $10,000 days is what their business is doing. $50,000 weeks is what their business is doing. Maybe they're on $1 million path, right? For the month or for the year, like insert that number that to you, you're thinking, man, I would jump ship right now. That never goes away. So you have to learn how to have that under control, which is something that I really struggled with, was looking at maybe what someone else is doing, wondering, why isn't my thing built out at that level just yet? And then we don't ask kind of like the follow-up questions. Well, how long have they been doing it for? How big is their team? How much money have they invested? Who's behind the scenes? How much are they split testing? How many people do they have under contract? And then the other side of that coin was the following: just because it's a good opportunity doesn't mean it's a good opportunity for you, right? You have to be real with yourself. Every time you jump ship, you're pretty much starting all over. So if right now I saw an opportunity to make more money in the app world, I have one, no interest in building apps. Number two, I don't know much about building apps. So even though building software or building apps is hella lucrative, right? That's why Silicon Valley exists. That's not my strength. I'm not saying that it can't be, but I'm saying for the season that I'm in right now, it's not my strength. And so when you start to really ask yourself and challenge yourself, is this, like, how long is it going to take me to get to a level where I can really scale this thing? You're going to find out, okay, it took me 2 years to build the business that I have right now to where it is. It took me 5 years to build the business where I'm at, where it is. And then you start looking at your skill sets. Are the skills that I currently have right now, and again, be honest with yourself, are the skill sets that I have right now, are they transferable into this next opportunity vehicle? And flat out ask the person, dude, give me the pros, give me the cons of this business. And you'll start to see, man, these cons don't outweigh the pros. Or man, they were withholding some information that was important that I should probably know before jumping blindly into that business. You'll see that sometimes you're just better off watering your own grass where you're sitting. And that's why their grass is greener, is because they're treating it. Number four is expect that something will be harder than you think and that it's going to take longer than you think. And I won't touch on this one too much because it's pretty self-explanatory. But when you are starting, and it kind of ties into point number three, but when you're starting a new venture or when you're going out and you are seeing, okay, well, let me see if this opportunity is better than the one that I have right now, or let me just try something new altogether. We do a bad job, and I include myself on there because these are my eye openers that I struggled with and I just wanted to share it with you. We do a bad job at thinking that we're better than what we really are. And yes, you want to have confidence, but it's also delusional if you don't have any evidence, right? So there's like a fine line of jumping into something, not being prepared, and not having any evidence that you've actually done the thing before, and building yourself up to the point where I can take on anything. It's like somebody jumping in the ring with Mike Tyson, never having put on gloves before, Mike Tyson in his prime, they're probably going to get hurt. And so it's the same thing here. And so now I'm at the point where I constantly tell myself, it's going to take longer than I probably think it is. And it's going to take more energy than I think it is. And it's going to take more work than I think it is. And if it doesn't, and we get to the target a lot faster, I'm pleasantly surprised. But I'd rather have, and this has served me far better than when I used to think the other way, of what we're going to get there in 1 month, or we're going to get there in the next week. And so I thought of it and I thought to myself, man, this is far more, what I say, comforting for me, of understanding, okay, this is a big thing that we're working on, especially when you start working with big targets. And so knowing that, dude, we may not get there in the next 90 days. Like, some targets are so big, you just know this is going to take at least 2 years. This is going to take at least 1 year with the thing that we're building up. Number one, it's going to ground you. Number two, it's going to keep you focused on the bigger picture. And then number three, when things do get hard, you were already expecting it to begin with. So you're not going to feel bad about it. And you're not going to beat yourself up because you're thinking, I'm behind the eight ball. No, I'm right on time. I just haven't played this thing out long enough. Number five is you don't need a lot of people around. You just need the right ones. When you are especially building something like a business, it becomes, and again, maybe you had a different experience, but this was my experience. It becomes difficult to find people that are headed in the same direction as you. It's far and few in between. But the reason why that's also, to me, comforting is because when you do end up finding those people, and when you see, okay, they're running in the same direction that I am, you start to realize it carries more weight than gold, is the way that I refer to it. Where if you just have two or three people around, the way that they think, the way that they operate, their code of ethics, their integrity, the way that they view the world is the same way that you view the world, or if they're levels ahead of you, is the way that you plan to view the world because you find that they're inspiring to your life, right? You start to see, man, the other 10, 15 people that I constantly had around, like they were just pulling me down. And yes, you know, they're awesome people for the season that we were in, but for where I'm going right now, it's just dead weight, right? And not just saying that, just, you know, disregard. Yes, they're humans. Yes, they're people, but just be real with yourself. They were doing things that, you know, I just know it's not going to fit my future. They are talking about things that aren't going to get me closer to where I'm looking to go. They were wasting their time with substances or even with other people that they're just living day by day. There really is no vision. Like no one's home. Like you look at them as like, okay, lights are on, but no one's home. But these two or three people that I'm moving with, yeah, it's a smaller circle. Yeah, it's tighter, but I'm growing far more, far faster being around them than when I was with these other 10 people. The mountaintop, or rather the climb to the top, isn't crowded. That's freeing, but there's also smaller space. Just like if you look at a mountain as a whole, it's just a little bit smaller. And it's for a select group of people that actually want to get there. And it's for a select group of people that actually want to put in the work and want to continually improve and are constantly challenging themselves. Number six, have a clear direction, message, and target. This mindset shift that I had was just changed everything. They all did. But the reason why I left this one for last is because I think it is important. Be clear on your message, be clear on your target, and be clear on your direction. Not just for yourself, but for your family. Not just for your family, but for your team. Not just for your team, but for your customers. Not just for your customers, but for your audience. There's always someone watching. You may not have a number one podcast. You may not have a huge Instagram channel or Instagram page. You may not have a huge social media following, but I promise you, you have an audience. Every time you post, every time you're out there putting up signs, if you have a billboard, anytime you put out work, your client becomes your audience because they end up telling other people, hey, I think you should, you know, this person does good work. I think you should probably hire them. Or, hey, I think you should maybe consider taking this person on as in part of your organization because I can recommend them. They become your audience. But you have to get clear on your message. You have to get clear on your target. That's not only going to make it easier for you when you're going out and you're taking on big projects, but it's also going to send the message and alert to everyone else. This is what we stand for. This is what we are not willing to compromise for. And this is what we plan on doing in the next, again, 6 months, 1 year, 10 years, whatever that target is. And then you're able to move in one accord. And again, this goes for marriage. This goes for business. This goes for parenting. My biggest case study right now is 4-year-old kid. So that's as far as I could take you into the kid realm. My case study with my wife, we're going to go on 7 years of marriage. That's as far as I can take you. But up to now, these thoughts, these beliefs have served me well. If you found value in this content, consider hitting the subscribe button down below. Don't forget that anytime we're posting on here, we never ask you for anything. The only thing that we ask is that you leave us a 5-star review if you found value in the content and that you share it with someone. But other than that, I appreciate you guys checking me out. Until next time, everyone, I will see you in the next episode.